Sanhedrin Perek Yud, Mishnah Base 10:2, and now the Mishnah is going to enumerate certain people who were very prominent in Tanakh, and they featured in a way that you might think, given their prominence and significance, and the way they sort of were great people in certain ways, so they would certainly have a world place in the world to come, but wrong, they don't, because what they did was so terrible in other ways that they would forfeit their world to come altogether. To a great degree, the issue here is that they're causing other people to sin, so even Tshuva alone wouldn't help recover the bad things they did to the world at large. So says the Mishnah, Shlosha Malachim Va'arba Hedyotos Ein Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba. We're going to enumerate a total of three kings. These were Jewish kings that don't have a place in the world to come, as well as four other people who are Hedyotos, meaning in this context, not kings. Hedyot, as always, means just like a lowered step down from the previous, so not kings, who also were prominent and did significant things, great significance, but they caused such bad to happen that they have no place in the world to come. Here they are. Shlosha Malachim, you have Yeravam. Yeravam, of course, is the person who caused the splitting of the Jewish people into two halves, the northern kingdom, which was Yeravam's, Yisrael was called, and the southern kingdom, Yehuda. This happened after Shlomo Melech's died, and Rehavam caused the people to be so unhappy that Yeravam took an opportunity to split the nation. Yeravam basically set up two golden calves, essentially two idols, both in Basel and in Dan, and they said, "This is, you know, these are idols that represent Hashem, who took out of Egypt, and will be serving at these places of worship instead of the Beis HaMikdash." So that was terrible, of course, and caused the masses to sin. So Yeravam is like on the hit list of the worst of the worst. And secondly, you have Achav. Now, Achav, English Ahab, Achav was terrible in as much as he, when it came to Yeravam, okay, so there was idolatry happening, but it was like serving Hashem through an idol. Achav married this Phoenician woman, Izabel, Phoenicia meaning like where modern-day Lebanon is, and she was from Sidon, whatever. So she brought in the Phoenician gods, idols, most notably the Tyrian Baal, and also something called Asherah. Baal was like this Phoenician kind of god, leading god of their panoply of gods. And Asherah, not even clear exactly what it was, some kind of feminine goddess or cultic objects associated with trees. So she basically brought that in, and she attempted to totally eradicate the service of the God of Israel, Hashem, and replace that with this, like, the Phoenician, you know, system of idolatry, specifically this Baal. So what happened is that Achav didn't stand up to her. To the contrary, he sort of, he was the other half, like, even if the weaker half, but the other half of this power couple that went around and they went killing all the prophets of Hashem. There were 100 who survived, like hiding away in caves, and of course there was the famous Eliyahu HaNavi. In any case, at the end of the story, in the 21st parak of Malachim Aleph, basically it sums up their life, and there the pasuk says, "Rok lo haya ka'achav asher hisma ker lasos hara b'nei Hashem." There was no one who was as bad as Achav, who sold himself out to do what was wicked in the eyes of Hashem. Asher heisata oso Izevel ishto. He was led astray by his wife Izevel. The point is that Achav basically made a war against Hashem's prophets, Hashem, and even though, if you look at the Pesukim, after the Shodan Ahar Carmel, and Eliyahu comes to Achav and tells him that he's doomed, and Achav ostensibly does tshuva, or tries to do tshuva, and it says he was contrite, and he took off his shoes and he wore sackcloth, and he was very upset about the whole situation. And the pasuk says, okay, this sort of staved off the destruction of his family temporarily after he died. But the point is that wasn't good enough. That tshuva, you can always do tshuva, but there's a big problem. If you do things which cause other people to go astray, let alone the whole Jewish people to go astray, etc., so then tshuva can fix you, but it can't fix the damage you've done. And apparently it was too much damage to be undone, therefore Achav has no place in Olam Haba, despite his attempt to do tshuva at the end of his life. And a similar kind of thing with Menashe. Menashe was this king who was at the end of the First Temple period, the son of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu tried valiantly to get rid of all of Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. He really brought people back to a renaissance, but his son Menashe was a terrible person, brought idolatry back, And although also in his life, in the second half of his life, he tried to do some kind of tshuva and repair what he did wrong, it was too little too late. Menashe really basically destroyed the Jewish people. And even though, like after 22 years, he was taken into Bavel and he came back and he tried to undo things, it just didn't work. So he lost his chelek in Olam Haba. Regarding Menashe, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, Menashe yesh lo chelek l'Olam Haba. No, he actually did try to right his ways and actually did get a chelek in Olam Haba. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, V'yispalel elav. The Pasuk says it's in Divrei Yamim, that while he was in captivity, Menashe prayed to Hashem. V'ya'ater lo, he implored, he beseeched Hashem. V'yishma t'chinaso, Hashem heard his supplications. V'yishivehu Yerushalayim l'malchuso, and he returned him to like his throne in Jerusalem. So you see that Hashem responded, got it back, and it seems that he did tshuva to repair what was wrong. So says Rabbi Yehuda, you see he did tshuva, and therefore he would have a place in Olam Haba. Amr lo, but the rabbi said, no, that's not good enough. The malchuso heshivu, Hashem did bring him back to his crown, his malchus, in Yerushalayim. V'lo l'chai Olam Haba. But he didn't bring him back to get his chelik in the world to come. So, in other words, too much damage done by Menashe to fix by his own tshuva, and therefore he lost his Olam Haba, kind of like what I told you with Achav. In addition, you have the Arba Hediotos, four people who weren't kings that are famous in the Psukim, but they don't have a place in the world to come. That way they know they don't have a place in the world to come is based on Psukim and Drush on Psukim. But here they are in short. You have Bilam, good old Bilam Arusha, the prophet who Balak tried to get to curse the Jews. So even though Bilam, Hashem talked to him, right? He was a Navi, and there's a Chazal that says in some ways he even had a Nebuah that was equal or better to what Moshe Rabbeinu had. So you might have thought Bilam has a chelik in Olam Haba. I should point out again, Bilam is not a Jew. So that Havmina is he didn't have a chelik in Olam Haba because he had a relationship with Hashem. But no, he doesn't because of all the wicked he did. And the fact we know that he didn't have a place in Olam Haba is based on Psukim because he says, Tamos nafshi most yesharim v'sehi achrisi kamohu. I'll die like the death of the yesharim of the righteous people, the upright people, meaning a normal natural death, and my end achrisi will be kamohu like the rest of the Jews. But it's not what happened. According to tradition, it was Pinchas, son of Elazar, son of Aaron HaKohen, famous Pinchas, who killed Bilam. And therefore he didn't die a normal death, and therefore he didn't have the chelik with everyone else. He has no chelik in Olam Haba. Secondly, you have the Doeg. Doeg was an advisor with Shaul HaMelech. And when David HaMelech fled from Shaul, he ended up in this town called Nov, which is the city of Kohanim. He took refuge there. There was Achimelech, who was a Kohen, who gave him basically food and resources. He gave him even the sword from Goliath, and he has some consult the Urim Batumim. So you see that he had some support. And then that report, Doeg reported back to Shaul that Achinoam and the people of Nov were supporting David. Shaul understood that to be like an insurrection. He instructed Doeg to kill all the Kohanim there in Nov. 85 Kohanim died. For that, Doeg loses the Olam Haba. Worth noting, I can't explore it now, but worth noting that the Rambam, in when he talks about the Aveira of Lashon Hara, brings the story of Doeg as the proof text for how bad Lashon Hara is, because Doeg was the one who said Lashon Hara back to Shaul. Okay, and then you have the third of the four is Achitofel. Achitofel was an advisor originally to David HaMelech. He apparently was like extraordinarily talented. The Psukim say like consulting Achitofel was like consulting Hashem, meaning like the Urim Batumim. In any case, when Avshalom, David HaMelech's son, rebelled against David, so Achitofel joined his side of things, and he advised him how to rebel against David, including to take David's pilagshim, his like concubines, and also to try to kill David. So Achitofel, bad guy against David, and he loses Olam Haba. And finally, Gehazi. Now Gehazi, according to tradition, did a lot of bad stuff. Gehazi was the assistant to Elisha Hanavi. So he did a bunch of bad things, most notably in the Psukim. There was this Naaman who was like a general from Aram, like up north, north of Israel. And he had tzaras, he came to get healed. Elisha took care of him. He offered to pay Elisha. Elisha declined, said, you know, that's not what he's on it for the money. He's there to help. And he's a servant of Hashem, as Hashem's prophet. And then afterwards, that big kiddush Hashem occurred. Then Gehazi ran after Naaman and told him, listen, you know, Elisha changed his mind. He wants money. Of course, that being a tremendous chil Hashem, undoing what the kiddush Hashem that Elisha did. And Gehazi is the agent of that. Gehazi did a bunch of other bad stuff too, according to tradition. I won't go into it now, but the point is, for his chil Hashem, another terrible behavior, Gehazi also loses his chelik in Olam Haba.